It is something like 5-ish a.m., and you're listening to All Influenza Radio, WBAI, New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Well, good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI, New York. The program is back of the book. I'm R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a very happy Valentine's Day to all our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
Indeed. And, well, we don't know what the Internet status is, so we'll say hello to all of you who are listening to us over the Internet, assuming some of you are. And the reason is because this is a pre-recorded program. Why is R. Paul doing another pre-recorded program? This is supposed to be a free-form live radio program, not a free-form pre-recorded radio program. Well, the reason is Dr. Pickles over here has diagnosed me with influenza. Yes, indeed. During the LSB meeting this past Wednesday night, I started feeling not so good, and it got rapidly much worse, and so I am really, really sick. We're recording this on Friday night, late on Friday night, and, it's about 48 hours since I started to really feel all of this stuff. A little bit more than 49 hours. Let's say 49 hours. Anyway, it's been that time. And up until today, I have been in terrible shape. I've had a lot of coughing, a headache that was really like trying to take my sinuses out, and all sorts of bad feelings. The usual stuff you get with influenza. And Pickles here went and looked it all up, and you figure this is influenza, eh?
Yes, so the coughing, the high fever, the malaise, yes, all of that. And of course, you had your flu shot, as did I, but it's only 6% effective this year, so that's a problem.
All right. Well, anyway, now what's going to happen is here and there the levels are going to be a bit off. You may also hear in the background our radio program being accompanied by the radiator clanking and steaming and all of that stuff that radiators do in midwinter. And so here we are with that happening. I'm coughing. I'm sorry. Yes, for the person who complains that I cough on the air, I'm going to cough a bit this time, even on a pre-recorded program, because I can't stop coughing, you. Anyway.
However, you won't be able to catch what he's got, so.
There's that. Anyway, so, I will be putting some of this stuff that we're going to talk about tonight up on my website at glib.com, glib.com. And you can look around up there, and this assumes I don't have a relapse or some damn thing. One of the big things is I was saying, well, maybe we can go do it. But then for the first time in 2 days, I walked out into the living room and sat down. It was exhausting. Got back up, almost fell over, and said, you know, if I can't make it to the living room, I might not be able to do well in sub-zero wind chills charging up a hill, you know, to get to CCNY Studios or any of this other stuff. So Pickles has convinced me that we'll be doing this from here, and she's right, because I also noted how slowly I'm walking at this point with everything feeling badly, and with here and there some new thing coming up, some intestinal thing going on with me. I'm, what the hell is this even? And all sorts of bad stuff going on. So the basic bottom line is that's why we're pre-recording this radio program. All right, let's see. Notice of regular WBAI local station board meeting. The next WBAI local station board meeting will be held on Wednesday, March 11th, 2015, at a location to be announced. And we had one, as I said, this past Wednesday. And one of the things at it was helping the secretary to figure out how to post the minutes, the draft minutes, up to the mailing list that the LSB has, and get that up there. And it's on a Yahoo mailing list, so you have a website that's associated with it, and you can post files. So I was telling him how to do that as one of the last things that night. And interestingly, after that, we came home, and I was so sick. Oh, the subway ride home was not fun. Then walking through all the cold to get home was not fun, and I just got dressed. Did I just fall asleep after that, or did I eat anything, or did I just crash? I don't remember well.
I'm not sure, but I just know you were blazing hot, and you were shaking, and it was not good. It was not good.
Yeah, and so I fell asleep, but I was full of fever dreams, and the fever dreams centered around me trying to download something in email. It had me going to email and trying to download something, and of course it's a dream, so things don't work right, and it's a fever dream, so you go and you do something, and it loops, and it goes around, and you're in this endless loop of a dream, and it's stressful, and yeah, fever dreams of downloading files and stuff. Oh, well. Anyway, yeah, we had a meeting, and we did a few little things. We did not come up with our, lovely,
plan.
Yeah, that's a contingency plan we were supposed to come up with. See, I'm also going to just not be able to get words in the middle of this because I am still quite ill. And so anyway, we, went and didn't get to the contingency plan. We did, however, get to public comment where some crazy person started making accusations against various people. And, you know, the chair just the faction wanted to continue this because apparently they didn't want to get to the contingency plan thing, which really is, you know, not that big a deal at this point in time because who knows how this is going to work. But anyway, we did go through all of that stuff. We had a very problematic public comment there. And in fact, we ended up with having to have one of the people who was libeled came in and was shown something a crazy person had shown up with. And one of the faction operatives took this piece of paper and printed it out for everybody to see. Oh, that's nice of her. And, you know, so he came in and said, this is libelous crap, but it doesn't say what she says it said. And he basically explained it, and, you know, oh, boy. But, yeah, that was the whole thing. I'm going to cough again. Oh, boy. Anyway, so that was it for that meeting. And as I say, the major thing I'll remember from this meeting is being sick by the end of it. Anyway, in other earth-shattering news, on Twitter, I now have 43 followers. That's 43. Ooh. Wow, 43. That's so amazingly huge. And so there was that. And by the way, of course, since for long-time listeners, you might remember, there's a thing in my life called Life Day, and that's February 12th. And it refers to February 12th, 1968, when I was declared dead in the Army. And, of course, I completely didn't do anything around that this year because I was busy being so sick. It was very reminiscent of what was happening to me 47 years ago. That was far worse, actually, because, you know, it was... This time the fever was 101.3, that time the fever was 105.8, which is a lot more dangerous. So we had that stuff going on. Anyway, so I didn't do anything with Life Day this year, just suffered. And I will note that this is our 2014 Valentine's Day program, so whoopee! And here's a smooch on the cheek for Pickles of the North. Sort of on the air. All right, let's see what else is going on in the multiverse that we inhabit here. Okay. So, Alabama, or as some of us refer to it, Abilama. And the state of Alabama has lost its appeal to the Supreme Court to stay a federal court decision that the state had to allow two lesbians from Mobile, Alabama, to marry. But Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore is trying to block same-gender marriages in his state. This Moore guy is the jerk who lost his job over installing a monument celebrating the Ten Commandments at the Alabama Judicial Building. He sent a memo to the probate judges in Alabama telling them they're not obligated to issue marriage licenses. Some counties in Alabama have refused to marry anybody now, and some are following Moore's memo and not issuing same-gender marriage licenses. Now, this has changed over the past couple of days in that most of the counties in Alabama are issuing marriage licenses. I think as of the time we're recording this, that it's only a few holdouts that are not issuing same-gender marriage licenses. And so this Moore guy has also written a memo to the governor of Alabama telling him that the state shouldn't comply with the court's order, and he bases this on state sovereignty. I mean, it sounds like this jerk hasn't heard that his side lost the Civil War, and I'm certain that's his side. He also has said in the past that he can't separate his religion from his job. The Southern Poverty Law Center has filed a complaint about all of his nonsense, and my question is, how the hell is this jackass the chief judge of Alabama after he got fired that other time? I mean, you know, obviously something's pretty screwed up in Alabama. Man, you know, this is what they want. This is what they want to have for a chief justice. Let's see what else. We're going to be pitching. We're going to be pitching on this program, so not yet, but in a while we'll be pitching, so keep a heads up for that noise. Let's see. Well, the Pope says it's all right to smack your kids. Hello, kiddies! Hey, the Pope has a message for you! Ah! You know, there you go. Yeah, the Pope says it's all right to smack your kids. He says a father is able to, quote, correct with firmness, unquote, but not damage his child. They used to beat the crap out of us in Catholic school. I remember that. My mother got it far worse in the Catholic orphanage she spent the latter years of her childhood in. Oh, man, they beat them so badly. And it was a girl's orphanage. And the nuns had a thing of they wouldn't hit the girls in their faces, mostly, because the girls had to go out and get married sometime, and they didn't want to deform them. And they knew that if they started hitting them in the face, they wouldn't stop and they'd deform them. So they would beat them, you know, with not just with their hands, but about the body. And one of their favorites was to take a girl and take a wooden coat hanger. And you have to remember, this is like the 1930s, when a wooden coat hanger wasn't that silly thing made out of balsa wood that you buy in the discount store these days. These were wooden hangers, probably made out of oak or heavy pine. And I remember those kinds, and I've seen ones today, and I've seen ones from then, and oh boy, those old ones were very heavy. You could hang a couple of 100 pounds off one of those, and it wouldn't bother it at all. They were strong. And it would take one of these coat hangers, and it would hit the girl in the back of her knees, which is painful, but Nobody should be looking at your knees anyway, should they, young lady? And I'm sure that informed the way the nuns did this. And so they would whack the kids in the backs of their knees, and they would, hurt them. And that was part of the punishment. My mother got hit so often because she would do things like stand up for her sisters who were also in the orphanage with her. And so she would take heat for them and stand up for them. And she got hit in the back of the knees a lot, to the point where she developed a tumor in the back of one knee. And she had to go get it removed at one point because it was rather serious. And it also made it so they couldn't hit her in the back of that knee anymore. They figured, we hit her in the tumor, it's going to be a problem. Anyway, so that's the Pope and his idea on how to raise your kids, Stupid son of a bitch. Let's see, what else is going on here? A former baseball player for the Atlanta Braves named Chipper Jones sent out a tweet that said, quote, "The FBI has confirmed Sandy Hook was a hoax," unquote. And, quote, "Where is the outrage? What else are we being lied to about?" unquote. The tweet, of course, refers to the Sandy Hook massacre of a couple of years ago, where 26 people, 20 of whom were small children, were murdered by a crazy guy. Predictably, that tweet got some attention. Shortly after that, he deleted the tweet and sent out a new one with his, quote, "heartfelt apology to those who were hurt or offended," unquote. Now, the thing, and of course, one of the people who's a woman whose mother was the principal at Sandy Hook and was trying to protect the kids and was murdered by this Adam Lanza nutcase, she said, "Why don't you come over to my house? I'll show you, her clothing with bullet holes in it, and you can see my children who don't have a grandmother anymore." And so there was that. However, the thing that's really interesting to me is apparently conspiracy nuts have gotten into this tragedy too, much as they've done with others like the 9/11 attacks. This is a pretty awful one for them to get into. I mean, we have unfortunately run into a number of conspiracy nuts, and Jesus Christ, this stuff is... this stuff gets pretty wacky after a while, after a very short while. And I don't know, it's disgusting. And this guy, somebody told me this. And then after the Twitter cascade of, "you jackass," he took it all down and all of that. But anyway, that's some of what happened there. All right, and I'm checking my batteries here, and my batteries are failing. I think we need to send Pickles of the North into the other room, and pick the white battery, white rechargeable. That's to the right of my keyboard. It's just
okay.
So she's going to go in and get that.
Here I go.
There she goes. And we'll see how this works. Yeah, when you're doing it at home, your rechargeable battery might go to hell on you, as this one did. Showed itself as being charged, and then it turned out it didn't. Luckily, I have backup AA cells, and so we're going. Anyway, enough of this technical stuff. Hey, it's a BAI program. You wouldn't want it to not have a technical problem, right? Ah, yes. Anyway. What else is happening in here? Oh, well, speaking of crazy guys, no. She has the wrong one, and I don't know. Maybe we should stop all of this. If she can't bring it back in now, we'll stop this. All right. So speaking of crazy guys, a 20-odd-8 study paid for by the Pentagon says that Vladimir Putin likely has a form of autism that, quote, "affects all of his decisions," unquote. Great. Another crazy guy, but this one has nuclear weapons. And, of course, he also has a desire to become czar of the old Russian Empire, and that's why he's invaded Ukraine. Oh, boy. You know, everybody was always worried that there'd be some crazy person who'd end up in a position to have nuclear weapons. That was part of the premise of one movie, which we even saw recently. I can't remember the name of, and since Pickles is still out looking for it, I guess we'll just. Yeah. What was the name of that movie? Where the guy sees, God, I can't remember actors' names. He sees the guy's going to become president and start a nuclear war.
The Dead Zone,
yes. So you'd see things like The Dead Zone, where an American president would be rather bat bleep nutty. And so he might start a war. And in that case, in the movie, was it Christopher Walken? Is that
yes.
His name?
Yes.
I am terrible with actors' names, especially right now since my brain is full of influenza virus.
He was very excellent in that movie.
And so you see things like that, but in this case, it wasn't an American with nukes who is nuts. It's the Russian guy with nukes who is nuts. Oh, this is good. This is so good. Oh. Anyway. So we have all of that stuff going on. And let's see, what else is happening here? Well, we have a report. There's a report out about the New York City subway system from the Weill Cornell Medical College that's based on their taking swabs from 466 subway stations and 24 subway lines. They found 637 microbes among their samples, and in these samples they found DNA from anthrax and plague germs. And I'm going to cough. Speaking of germs, I guess the germs in me heard me mentioning the germs, and they said, "Hey, let's get us on the air too." That was the influenza virus getting itself on the air again. More anyway, of course, we're not surprised by all of this because anytime you touch anything on a subway or bus, you never know what someone might have been doing before you got there. I mean, think of it, Naked pole dancing on the subway, and somebody seeing if their butt muscles could hold them up, could grip hold of the middle of the subway pole and hold them up there. Hey, look, some drunk in the middle of the night, like when we usually are going in there to do this program, some drunk in the middle of the night clamping his butt cheeks around the pole and saying, "Hey, look at this, I can hold myself up, I got such a strong ass," and then you come in, an hour later and you're holding on to that same pole. Oh, think about that image. Anyway, most of the bacteria are harmless, and lead investigator Christopher E. Mason, a professor at the Weill Cornell Medical College's Department of Physiology and Biophysics, said, quote, "Nine times out of ten, everything you touch on the subway is not at all dangerous. In the one time it is, it's never there high enough to cause disease," unquote. I don't know about that because, I think people get plenty of diseases off the subway. Dr. Mason also said, quote, "Despite finding traces of pathogenic microbes, their presence isn't substantial enough to pose a threat to human health. Well, Pickles and I always wash our hands after getting home from being on the subway or buses, and it's probably a good idea. I mean, if you don't do it, you probably should from now on when you get into all of this stuff. So there's that. Okay. And... Harpole's breathing a little bit because Harpole's talking a lot here, and he's not doing that well. Okay, let's see. What else is happening here? Well, there is a there are these stories about you know, this ISIL group over in the Middle East, and the latest one, of course, is that they're claiming that the Jordanians bombed a place and killed this American hostage, this young woman. And, you know, then the Jordanians and everybody else, I think, points out, yeah, but where they had her, we didn't bomb there. So they probably just murdered her, just for the hell of it. And what they say is she was married to one of their commanders, which means they grabbed a hold of her, and this guy, she was given to this guy to rape as he pleased. Maybe he invited a few friends in, too. Who knows? That's how they are. They're doing that to the, they did that to the Yazidi women they captured.
Yeah.
So, so basically, and you know, so basically they raped and murdered this young woman. You know, and it's, they've done it to a whole lot of young women. And, this is really terrible, terrible stuff. And as I've said before, these people need to be all killed. You know, it's a war on, and these guys are trying to gain control of things, and we don't need for that to happen. We need to get rid of them. And of course, the ISIL scumbags were in negotiation with Jordan to release the captured pilot in exchange for a woman who was an Al-Qaeda operative. And then they showed a video. They proudly showed a video of them burning this guy to death. They put him in a steel cage, and they doused him in gasoline, and they let a trail of gasoline out, and they just torched him. And they have this video of the guy burning to death. And, of course, the Jordanians are really PO'd about this. And they are, you know, they have really been reinvigorated as enemies of these guys. And so they have been basically taking over the bombing of them for a few days. And that's, of course, where the ISIS creeps tried to throw in their propaganda that, oh, they killed her. We didn't kill her. Yeah, right. Yeah, they want to claim they only raped her. They didn't kill her. Sure, right. We believe those scumbags. Anyway. So the ISIL creeps were in negotiations, with Jordan about, you know, exchanging the pilot for an Al-Qaeda operative. And as it turns out, the captured pilot had been burned to death weeks before the video of the act was released. With, you know, oh gosh, the rapists and murderers were negotiating in bad faith. Oh, surprise. And so the day after the Jordanians heard about the pilot having been killed and found out that this had happened weeks earlier before the negotiations, you know, they were still negotiating. Oh, we'll give you your pilot back if you send her to us. And, you know, they're doing that. So the day after the video comes out, the Jordanians... they hanged the person whom the ISIS creeps were offering in exchange. They also killed another Al-Qaeda creep while they were at it. So there is that. Anyway, you know, this is terrible stuff. I mean, there is one person from a, public or community radio station who sent out one of her emails saying, oh, you know, they say they've killed 6,000 ISIS guys. Oh, think about their relatives and their poor groovy. Yeah. What the hell is wrong with you, lady? Have you no sense of proportion? If you think they're so great, why don't you go over there and comfort them yourself? You'll get married to 30 or 40 of them, and maybe you'll have a different opinion. Dip. And in another thing that happened in Tel Abyad, Syria, last month. The ISIS creeps murdered a man whom they accused of, quote, homosexual affairs. Basically what they did was, and I have a video of this, they're so proud of their atrocities. And what they did was they took the guy, blindfolded him. They have him on top of a building, on top of a seven-story building, and he's blindfolded, and he's in the chair, and then they shove him off. He doesn't even know what's happening. He's blindfolded. And they shove him off the building. And so he falls seven stories, and he lands, and he's not dead. And so, pardon me as I cough here, and so what happens is two people go over to, you know, say, oh, this guy fell, and they look at him. Maybe they didn't know what was, why the guy had come off the building like that, and they were trying to give him some sort of aid, although falling from a seven-story building, there's a good chance you're not going to live much longer anyway. However, the ISIS creeps come back down, and they get them off the guy, and then a crowd gathers around, and they stone the man to death. They really wanted to make sure, you know, they wanted to make sure they were murdering him. And this is, you know, this is horrifying stuff. They are, you know, they're referred to by some as barbarians. And, yeah, I guess they are. I guess they are barbarians. And, you know, this is terrible kind of things that they're doing here. And these guys have got to be defeated, and they've got to just be, you know, wiped out. I mean, this ISIS crowd is apparently a place where every psychopath, sociopath, and sadist gets to go to act out. And by sadist, I mean the actual sadists, the bad people like the Nazis, you know, like Dr. Mengele type sadist, as opposed to the people who dress up in leather and have safety words, who are, you know, into S&M, but they're not doing this, you know, horrifying stuff to people for real. So this is, you know, this is really, really awful junk that's going on here. And who are these people who are in a pre-recorded radio program? Well, here's who we are.
This is WBAI New York 99.5 FM, broadcasting from the hilltop in Harlem and streaming live at WBAI.org. The program is Bag of the Book. He is our Paul Martin, and she is Radio Spiegel of the North. You can find out more by going to his website at glib.com. You can also look at WBAI.org, the official website of this radio station. There is also WBAI.net, a listener group's website, and then there is the Bleep and Blue Board at listenerforums.net, where listenerforums is one word.
Okay, so we have this Brian Williams thing going on. Oh, I should probably pitch in another minute. Actually, I should pitch right now. I'm going to talk about the Brian Williams thing. I'm going to pitch. We'll get this in. Basically, WBAI is listener-sponsored radio, and that means that we periodically come on the air and we beg you, the listeners, for money. So we're gonna do that right now. We're required to do it. We are supposed to raise $500 on this program. Now, wowee, okay, we'll see if we can do that. Now, last week in this time slot, because Uncle Sidney has been removed from the air and been removed, banned from BAI for life and not told why by management, we, of course, weren't on. And they played some, quote, health premium, unquote, show in there. And they pitched some premium. And that thing made a whole pile of money. And, well, you know, if you want to have Freeform Live Radio in these time slots, you're going to need to step up, because if they're making a bunch of money on that stuff, then you're going to need to have us make some money. If we don't make at least that $500, you know, management isn't always pleased with us, and it'd be very tempting for them to take us off. So, what you can do is get up, go to your phone, dial 1-212-209-2950. That's 1-212-209-2950. And what we need is for some of you to just, you know, call in. Now, $25 makes you a member. There is still the possibility there may be elections in Pacifica this year. There are supposed to be, but there's a possibility they may actually happen. Maybe Pacifica will find the money to stage an election. We don't know. But what you can do is you can become a member, and you will be eligible to vote if you pledge $25 or more to the radio station. So you can do that, or if you want to, you could pledge $100. We, of course, haven't been getting shown anything that shows what the generic premiums are anymore. I don't know if we have generic premiums. It's all these very high-priced premiums. You know, cancer cures all over the place. And again, nobody at BAI can cure cancer. And so we are here pitching the radio program. We are here hoping that maybe there's a generic premium, but they don't tell us. They don't tell us anymore. So if you want to pledge $25 or $50 or $100 just for the radio program, that would be great. That would also help us to show that there are listeners for this radio program. And we seriously need to show that there are listeners for this radio program. And that's what we need to do. So 212-209-2950, that is the number. Now, unfortunately, since this is pre-recorded, we cannot thank you on the air. I'm sorry about that, but there's no way to do it. And I'm burping now. That's another thing. I'm burping during this influenza thing. I don't know why that's happening. I also got the thing of where I had a Glucerna, and it caused an expansion problem, which we've ruled out that problem being a heart attack, but it's got to be some intestinal thing. Pickles may have diagnosed that too. Anyway, and I'm coughing on the air, so that's life. So basically, we need you to get up, go to your phone, dial 1-212-209-2950. Please, if you could pledge $25, $50, $100, that would be great. And if several people would pledge, you know, large amounts, that would be wonderful, because that would show that, yeah, we have at least as much of an audience as the so-called health program that they threw on from nowhere and had this premium. So 212-209-2950. We're really asking people to go and belly up to the telephone and pledge right now. We seriously need to hear from some folks. 212-209-2950. That's the number to call. And if you could do that, it would really help a great deal. 212-209-2950.
1-212-209-2950.
Okay, and we're pitching, and we're asking you to do that, and oh boy, all sorts of stuff going on here, and I'm coughing and choking and and you know, also you have to show that you want to hear the overnights. The overnight live radio programs are kind of in jeopardy because, you know, there are people who don't like them. And, you know, people who actually have an idea about radio would say, oh, yeah, you should have those. People who don't have any idea about radio, who only know how to count money, well, they don't understand it. Unfortunately, the latter type is around. I won't say where they are, but they're around. Anyway, so we are really asking you here to get up, go to your phone, dial 1-212-209-2950 and pledge some amount of money. And I really hope some of you will do that, because if we end up with nothing, you know, they're going to say, well, that's it. You know, we can take them off and nobody will even complain. So there you are. Anyway, so Brian Williams was talking about several times on TV about having been in a helicopter in Iraq that was shot down. And he was up there and, you know, he was talking about it. Oh, yeah, you know, we got down fast and we looked at it. And so he's talked about this for a couple of years. And he mentioned it again recently. And some guys who were on one of the helicopters said, no, he wasn't. He wasn't on the helicopter that was hit. And apparently he was on the helicopter in back of that one or something. He wasn't on that helicopter, but he was apparently in the flight that had that. And so they're saying, no, he's lying and all of this. And this brings up, why would, you know, this, I mean, I would trust those guys and say, yeah, they're probably right. But you wonder, why is this? Why would he do something like this? He's not just this ordinary person. He's a newsman. He's a journalist. What's going on here? And one of the things that's interesting is in the New York Times, Tara Parker Pope has written an article talking about false memories and how we can have them. And one of the things that I've quoted many times since sometime in my 20s has been the saying, memory is fiction. And you can bear that out because you, I mean, if you've ever written fiction, you can see how that, you know, you're writing stuff down that has never happened. You know, you were never on a spaceship where space aliens were coming at you. Well, but there are lots of those stories around, so how could that possibly be? And, of course, many other fictional writings are full of things that never happened. Now, in general, the fiction writers usually have a handle on what really happened and what they're making up. Maybe not always, but usually they do. And what this Times article is saying is that Brian Williams may have a false memory. And what happens with that is that you somehow get the idea that something happened, and it sort of leaps in with your real memory, and you start remembering the thing that didn't happen as a part of what did happen. And that's what false memories consist of, and that can happen to pretty much anybody, apparently. I've edited out a huge coughing jag and other stuff that happened, so you're not getting quite the free-form, pre-recorded radio either, and you're probably glad of it. Anyway, Tara Parker Pope is talking about this stuff. She quotes Christopher Chabris, who's co-author of a book called The Invisible Gorilla, How Our Intuitions Deceive Us. And he's an associate professor of psychology at Union College in Schenectady, New York. And he says, quote, I think a lot of people don't appreciate the extent to which false memories can happen even when we are extremely confident in the memory. And, you know, we've talked about the brain on this program a number of times, and the brain, it isn't a perfect recording device, and different things are put in different parts of your brain. For instance, if you look at a pink triangle, the color of it is stored in one part of your brain, the outline of it is stored in another part of your brain, and you have to bring those two together to remember the pink triangle. And lots of things are like that. And so they're talking about false memories and how they can just get recombined with other things you see. And, this Dr. Chabris says, quote, it's as though you're playing the telephone game. You whisper a message, and by the time it gets to the last kid, it's a completely different story from when it started, unquote. And, you know, this has been documented scientifically any number of times. And also, there have been studies done, And Stephen J. Frenda, who's a postdoctoral research fellow at the New School for Social Research in New York, used a writing exercise to introduce false memories to students. And he had some students write a little story about rescuing a cat from a tree. And then he had another set of students, the control group, write some other mundane story. Then he got them all together, and he had them in a room, and he said, "How many of you have ever rescued a cat from a tree?" Well, a whole lot of the kids who had written the story about rescuing a cat from a tree raised their hands. They had not in reality done this. And that may be what's happening with Brian Williams. And, you know, I mean, having a chopper come down is traumatic, even if you're just near it. I know from experience. Yeah, we had a Huey going over us at Honai one day, and it was coming in low, and it made a lot of noise. Not that unusual, but it was annoying. And it comes over, and all of a sudden, you hear, "Foof!" And, you know, anytime you get the sound of an explosion when you're in Vietnam, it's time to see what's happening, because you may be under fire. And, you know, many times they would bracket the little place we were in, which means they would have artillery rockets falling on all sides of you, which means statistically you're just as likely to get hit with one as not. And, you know, there was a chopper coming down and, you know, flames coming out of it, and it just fell. And, you know, so that is, you know, it's a traumatic thing. And I can see where the guy would have been traumatized by it, and maybe mixing his trauma with other stuff, he somehow conflated himself with being in there. It's very hard to resist screwing up your memory, which is why keeping records of things is so important, which is why writing things down is so important. I write things down all the time to make sure. And my memory, per se, is really great. All right. Well, all right. I think we need to pitch like mad. All right, we have to pitch. We have to pitch here. We have to raise money. We really have to raise money at this point in time. 1-212-209-2950. That's the number to call. We hope we're raising money. We don't know. We don't know. We're laboring in our own ignorance here. 1-212-209-2950. Please, please give us a call at that number. You're keeping back of the book on WBAI, and you're keeping WBAI on the air. Things may get better at some point, and the thing is, we need to survive till that point, and we need you to help us survive. We need you to call 212-209-2950, 1-212-209-2950, and call us up, call up the call center, and pledge some amount of money. That's 1-212-209-2950. We seriously need to hear from you now. We seriously need to hear from any number of folks, and we have to deal with that. That's 1-212-209-2950. And again, $25 is a regular one-year subscription. If you want to pledge more, you can certainly do that. We'll be glad to get larger pledges. Again, we need to show that there are listeners to this program. They had that premium in the last time on this time slot, so they know there are some people around whom they can get to pledge money for a premium like that. Can we show them that there are people around who will pledge money for the actual programming? Because, you know, the general manager has written that, doing marathons based on the programming doesn't work. That's why we have to do the premiums all over the place, and he does those. 212-209-2950. That's the number to call. That's 1-212-209-2950. We very, very seriously need to hear from you all. 212-209-2950. Please give us a call at that number. We really, really, really need to hear from you. 212-209-2950, and I'm just going to have to pitch here. You know, we bring you all sorts of different things. I think we do a better radio program when I'm not, you know, choking to death on the air. With any luck, this influenza will be over by the next time, which we hope we have. We hope we have a next time. It's possible also that if we don't raise money on this program, that we will be preempted for another one of those premiums the next time we're supposed to pitch. So, who knows? 212-209-2950. That's the solution to keeping Freeform Live Radio on in this time slot. 212-209-2950. We very much need to hear from you folks. We need to hear from you right now. 212-209-2950. And oh boy, do we ever need to hear from folks. 212-209-2950. You know, we bring you science things. We bring you, little opinion things. And we generally talk about ourselves a bit, which, you know, is sort of what you do with Freeform Live Radio. You know, if you were doing a flat newscast, you would not do that. But if you're doing Freeform Live Radio, that's a part of it, because we want you to know who we are. Who are these people who are talking to us here? And we have Henrietta Hexadecimal coming in and saying who these people are. But she's not going to do that right now because we need to beg. 212-209-2950 is the number to call. We gotta try and raise some money here and see if you can help us out. You know, BAI is we're actually getting some more listeners because they finally put some stuff in drive time slots. They finally paid attention to the drive time slots. Well, we won't get into that too much. And we'll the station may do better now. And so far, this thon is actually doing better than the previous thons. It's been averaging, having a daily average that's better than the previous thons have done through all of calendar year 2014. And if that pace is kept up, this will help us out a lot, because we have back bills that have to be paid and all of this kind of stuff. So 212-209-2950 is a way for you to vote right now. Yes, if you pledge $25 or more to the radio station, you will be able to get on and you'll be able to vote at this election, which we may be having this year. But if you pledge at all, that will be a vote. You will be voting to keep Back of the Book on the air. You'll be voting to have Freeform Live Radio still continue at BAI, because, hey, it's really easy if people would do some sort of a model like, hey, we take the 12 to midnight slots and we just fill them in with people pitching various premiums all the time. That would certainly appeal to certain mentalities at BAI. So 212-209-2950, that's the number to call, and we're gonna be having some outro music here, I think, so that's gonna show up. 212-209-2950 will be going off the air fairly soon here, and we do need to hear from you. We do need to hear from you as soon as possible. I mean, you know, oh boy. And I'm getting exhausted by having to be emphatic here, because, wow, I don't have a lot of energy reserves in my current influenza condition. I am influenced by influenza. I have my influenza is going on here. That's what's going on. Anyway, 212-209-2950. And yes, I'm sure this could have been a more sparkling radio program, if I weren't sick, but I figure we should give you a radio program, even if it's me being sick here. And, you know, with the imperfections of this rather primitive recording thing we've got here with this 635A microphone is 26 years old. And we have the lowest end possible Tascam recorder, and we're going into this, and we're hoping that this will work out. We've done this once before with this setup, and it at least got on the air, and I have to edit it in the next few minutes to make sure that we can get it up to people. So 1-212-209-2950. That's 1-212-209-2950. And we're about to go off the air here. So please, can we get a flurry at the end? Can we get a few people calling? And if you call in and you can't get on, you know, if you can't get the people at the call center right away, please keep calling. Hang on. Keep trying and tell them it's for Back of the Book and try to get on there because we need every dollar we can raise. 212-209-2950. We need to hear from you. Okay, final time. 212-209-2950. And that's going to be it. I hope we've raised some money. I hope the program wasn't too awful for all of you to listen to. And we hope we'll be back here in 2 weeks. No guarantee. Thanks a hell of a lot for listening. For anybody who pledged, thank you.
We can't
name you, but thank you a whole lot. We're relying on you folks. And that's been it for Back in the Book. Coming up next is Simon Locley with As I Please. And 1 week from now in his time slot, you'll probably get another one of those premiums, which if it raises a gigantic amount of money, who knows what'll happen. All right. Thanks a hell of a lot for listening. Stay indoors mostly for the lousy weather. And above all, remember what that coughing up a lung dormouse said.